When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wanna go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 348 of the Big Show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? How do I sound? Is it smooth, silky, NPR type sound? Going from left to right on your radio dial. The reason I bring it up is, of course, I didn't have an episode on Wednesday due to microphone issues. Yes, the old snowball microphone gave it up. I didn't start with it, but it was pretty much 320-something episodes, I think, were put in on that microphone. And, so it certainly didn't owe me anything. And I got a, you know, cheap deal at Staples. And it was a good mic, though. It sounded good. It, you know, like I said, always performs. So, but it, yeah, it started to flicker here the other night when I was going to record, and I was like, oh boy. But, so I'm like, well, I may as well put some money into this, mud show. And, actually went and got a decent microphone. So, but it looks like it's recording. Okay. Well, I know it's recording all right because I recorded, with Rob yesterday and it sounds good. It sounded good. So, I know it's working, but, Rob, for those folks, from the Facebook group, the Hockey Fights and Brawls group, who was right when I start recording, I'm starting getting text messages all the time. Oh, it's Jay in Iowa. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hold on. Where's my wallet? I'm going to make sure to sit on it here. Gee, you know, you're throwing me off now. What was I talking about? Yes, from the Facebook group. Rob has put in countless hours in that group and always putting up links and posts and starting conversations and finishing some conversations. And, he is all over that. He's, in that group. And, Rob and I have always had, you know, really, really enjoyable interactions on the group. And, you know, we've been trying to set this up for a little while now. And unfortunately Rob is down and out and on the DL and recovering some of his surgery, and he'll be back and doing cartwheels in no time. But in the meantime, I'm like, well, now is the chance to get you on the show. Now we kind of got you in one spot here. So we did the 10 questions deal. I don't want to call it rapid fire anymore because there ain't anything rapid about it. So yeah, we ended up talking for a long time. It's almost an hour, I think. But I think we talked about an hour before and an hour after. Yeah, we were like a couple old ladies in the knitting circle. But it was great to talk to Rob. I think you guys will really enjoy it. And he gives some really good answers. And we just have a really good discussion. And good dude. It was enjoyable. And it certainly will not be the last time he is on the show. Like I said, we talked for about an hour and stuff, so I'm not going to go for too long in this intro. I mean, we'll cover a few things, and we got the hockey cards from Dollarama. Once again, it's the 93-94 Opeachy Premier, so we'll do that here shortly. Obviously, I'm going to give a few shout-outs before we get rolling. As I said, I remember the Hockey Podcast Network. 100 shows on the network. I'm on the original content creator side myself. Terry Ryan, old Ted Hitchcock, as from the TV show Shoresy, that season 3 is being recorded as we speak. And some good, some some kick-ass, I mean, talk about some kick-ass guest stars in that show, as the pictures have been showing up on social media. Brett Gallant, Pierre-Luc LeBlanc, Steve Bossé, all have been on set and in uniform. So I think the Sudbury Bulldogs are the gyms are going to have some competition here. If you have, for the listeners out there, if you have not had a chance to check out Shorzy, I encourage you to do it. John Morasty, Terry Ryan, the Nolans. It's quite the, you know, it's a little 20-minute hockey comedy. I don't think anybody's going to say it's rivaling Seinfeld and Cheers or anything, but it's good for a few laughs, and Jared Kiso's doing a good job with it. And, you know, we got some old senior hockey with some tilts and some wheeling some chicks and some lines. And, it's been a fun little deal. And I encourage you guys to check this show out. So, but yes, Terry Ryan is on the network, and he has TR. He does a great job and has a great podcast and has lots of good guests on. And I encourage you to check his show out, as well as Jilt and Joel Lazito over at the Coliseum Chronicles. I know I've just been talking to Joe tonight, text, and he's in the middle of interviewing the guy right now. They're only 3 hours in right now, so he's probably got about three more to go. But I'm not going to spoil who it is, but minor league legend, to say the least. You guys will dig it. And I don't think he's ever done certain he's never done a podcast before, so this will be all new shit. So definitely looking forward to that. And of course, Alec over at the Five for Fighting podcast. I was going to talk to Alec tonight, but he's under the weather, old Sicky McGee over there. So hopefully I can corral him here in the next few days. Again, tremendous back catalog there. Rob Ray, Yablonsky, Frank Bialowis, on and on. And check him out on YouTube as well. He's always uploading East Coast League fights. And tell you, busy night tonight. Ooh, Ryan Devine putting the hammer down again. That's two fights now for Devine out in Kansas City in the East Coast League. And he has looked dominant in both. Oh, got the left hammer going tonight. Oof. And Nico Blatchman, released from Kalamazoo, went to the LNAH, was playing for Laval, got into a few fights. He fought Chris Cloutier last night in Laval, and all of a sudden this morning he has signed a contract with Adirondack back in the East Coast Hockey League, and he's there, and he fought tonight. And he fought Chris Orabotti, two of Alex's guests from his show, and a solid little tilt. And the life of a minor league hockey player, fighting in Laval one night and fighting in Adirondack the next. So, but good luck to Nico, and I am a fan, old school guy, runs around, and I enjoy him. And hopefully he can stick in the East Coast League and for the season, because I feel for those guys. Because, yeah, I mean, married, I believe he just had a kid. So, I mean, you're bouncing around. I mean, that's a tough way to make a living, boy. And, but yes, good luck to Nico at Adirondack. Hopefully it works out for him. And, there is your, enforcer dude. Wow. And last night in the Laval game, Patrick Bordolo, he got his revenge on Derek Parker. They've had a little bit of a rivalry going. Parker tried to get Bordolo to fight last year, one game towards the end of the year, and Bordolo wouldn't go. Bordolo has been playing in, Marquette. I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it. Pardon me with my French, but he's kind of going. I don't want to say he's going through the motions, but he doesn't really want to fight anymore and whatever. But Parker was trying to get him to go, and he just wouldn't fight. And then holy, Derek Parker ran him and hit him. Oh, it was a solid hit. Oh, and so they've got some tension going, and they played earlier this year, and Bordolo finally had enough of Parker, and they fought. I'd say Bordolo, you know, gave it to him pretty good. And then, last night, Bordolo kind of gave it to him again. And, so it's, things are heating up in the LNAH. And like I said, then you had Blatchman fight Chris Cloutier, you know, veteran Chris Cloutier, the all-time LNAH, all-time penalty. Can you believe he's been in the LNAH since 2002? Oof, that's some miles, boy. And, he's the all-time penalty leader, lots of PIMs, lots of fights, And, yeah, him and Nico fought for about a minute and a half last night. And, yeah, so, yeah, there's a little bit of fighting going on. You know, there is a life outside of the NHL, folks. But, well, because they ain't fighting in the NHL, I can tell you that. Yeah, so it's been, you know, some, a few things to watch anyway. We'll put it that way. But, yeah, speaking of YouTube, if I've been actually uploading onto my channel. I've uploaded, I don't know, six or seven fights in the last couple of days. Actually, I just finished uploading an Andy Bezo fight and actually a Yablonski-Brad Booth fight from the West Coast League from 2001. I just uploaded it literally 20 minutes ago. So, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube, please check out the channel. I have over 2,000 videos on the channel. Every league, it's everything sorted. So the little microscope, or the microscope, the little... what do you call those things? Eyeglass that you can search engine. Help me with the words. Just type in what ECHL, AHL, IHL, blah, blah, blah. Whatever league you're looking for, it'll all come up. And, yeah, check it out. Subscribe to the channel, please. If you happen to watch a video that, and you like it, hit the little thumbs up button. I know it's corny, but YouTube loves the engagements and it helps in the algorithms, but please subscribe. And if you happen to be listening to this pod, well, if you listen to this, obviously you're listening to this podcast, any podcast that you listen to, download, don't stream. That's how we get paid. But please subscribe to the channel. And while you're there, if you could rate the show, rate the episode, rate the podcast, that would be greatly appreciated, whether it be on Apple or iTunes or Spotify, whatever platform you're listening to, because, again, it helps out in the algorithm. I'm not just saying it for my show, but for Alex, Joe's, Terry's, whoever's, any podcast, well, like I always say, any Spit and Chicklets and Joe Rogan can live without your rating. They'll be okay in the algorithms, but no, for the smaller mom and pop shows, if you guys, as listeners, that's the one little thing that you can do for us. That would help us out. And, yeah, if you could do that, that would be cool. All right. Shut up, Darren. I know. Let's get into this. I've actually had these hockey cards for about 5 days now. They've been, sitting here on the desk and I've been staring, burning a hole through them and, wanting to open them. So here we go. There we go. The sound of card. What year did I say it was? 93-94 Opeachy Premier. Here we go. Top card, Stefan Richie. I believe this guy had a 50-goal season, did he not? Yes, he did. 87-88 Montreal. 50 goals, 28 assists. Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, that's all right. Put it in. Somebody's got to put it in. He ain't passing me the salt across the table, though. I can tell you that. Darren Shannon. In the picture, he's on the face-off draw with Marty McSorley. Do I put that? So does he go in the goon collection because Marty makes an appearance? Yeah, maybe not. Mike Richter. Goalie Wendell Young from Tampa Bay. Pittsburgh's Paul Stanton. Oh, come on here. The pack's dying here early. Oh, Scott Mallaby. There we go. We saved it. Ked from the Morning Skate Show would be all over that. UE croup. There you go. Lazito's happy out there. Claude Lemieux. Ech. Great playoff performer, though. I'll give him that. Dmitry Karlamov. Dmitry Yuskevich. Oh, come on. The old card, they all stick together. Billy Ranford. Tony Granato. Down to two cards left here, folks. Come on now. Dave Christian. Last card. Oh, it's sticking here. Mark Freer. Wow, boy. Tell you, back in the day, if you had dropped a dollar on that pack, you wouldn't be happy. Well, there you go. That's other than Mellenby, the rest are going into recycling. All right. Well, hey, before we get into the here's to you. There we go. Cheers. Saturday night. First in this hand. All right. Yes. Well, the only comment I'm going to say is, no. Well, I was going to say about, the whole Connor Bedard thing. Anybody that thinks Corey Perry slept with Bedard's mother, you're an idiot and I have a bridge to sell you. And, yeah. Like I was saying online, I know people have been, it's been everywhere and and everybody, and it's like, oh, it's funny and whatever. Oh, welcome to the big leagues, kid. That's what happens. It's like, no, that's not what happens. It does now with social media and the cesspool that that is. And, you know, you get the Stifler's mom thing and all that. I mean, I get the jokes and, you know, okay. But I think people, well, obviously people forget, or they don't really care. I should say that. They probably don't really care. You know, there's a family involved in this, you know, Bedard and his, you know, 18, his mom, and they have to go through this bullshit. And, you know, I'm sure they don't find any humor in it. And, yeah. And so to think, oh, you're in the NHL now, so you have to put up with that. Nah, they're humans. They don't need to put up with that shit. I mean, obviously, part of the cesspool of social media. In that sense, I guess, in that sense, they do have to put up with it, unfortunately, because that's the society we live in. We're, you know, basically a world of morons. So, but no, I feel sorry for the kid and having to put up with that bullshit. And the fact that, like, okay, the rumor, you know, whatever. Believe me, there were so many pinheads that believed it. Like, the one guy's like, I've kind of put that on social media. The one guy goes, oh, yeah, prove to me it didn't happen, brah. Well, prove to me that it did, brah. You fucking idiot. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I love that one. Oh, well, prove it didn't happen. Well, no one's proved it did. So, you know, if you're making the allegation, shouldn't you have some proof? I mean, that's, you know, again, I'm yelling to the abyss. Clearly, you don't need anything anymore other than a keyboard and a bunch of that. I mean, that's why you friggin' dopes believe anything. I always laugh. It's the same bozos that love to yell fake news. You yell fake news about everything, but if it's on the internet, you believe it, though. You know, it's just, oh, you morons. Oh, they're so, like, what did P.T. Barnum always say? There's a sucker born every minute. Still stands tall today. Yeah. Oh, some of you, it's just so easy to con. Well, clearly, as history has indicated here lately. Just embarrassing. But, anyway, enough of that. Yeah. Actually, you know what? It's like, you know, that's about it. I really don't have too much to say. You know, like I said, Rob and I, we talk here for a long time. So I think you guys will really enjoy the conversation. And Rob's a good dude. I want to thank him again for coming on and taking the time. And yeah, guys, let's get into it. We gotta do some sponsorship. We got to do some housekeeping, keep the lights on here. You know, with the all the bowl season around the corner and the NHL winding or NFL winding down. Hey, maybe think about, I know I'm doing the sales pitch for the gambling, but it's a pretty good deal with DraftKings. If you don't have a DraftKings account and you're thinking about getting one, you know, deposit a few bucks and get 200. It's not a bad little deal. I have to be completely honest. It's, you know, all these gambling sites, whether it be DraftKings or whoever, they're all trying to get your business, right? So they're offering pretty insane sign-up deals. So if there's nothing, because the reason I say this is because I had a guy ask me, like, is that legitimate with the DraftKings thing? I'm like, well, yeah. Like, what do you think? I'm running a Ponzi scheme over here? Like, you know, like, yeah, DraftKings is legitimate. Believe me, they're a billion-dollar business. You're not going to get ripped off. Anyway, so it's just what he said. I'm like, really? You know, are you the same guy that thinks Perry slept with Bedard's mom? You know? But, it's a, if you're, like I said, if you don't gamble, I mean, don't worry about it. Just fast forward. You don't give a shit, right? But for those that are, that enjoy the sports gambling and whatever, if you don't have a DraftKings account, it's a good opportunity to sign up and use our promo code. It would help out the network. It helps me out and Alec and Joe out. And well, maybe that's not the ringing endorsement that I think it is. I might have to storyboard that one. Get back to you. Anyway, it's Saturday night and I'm giddy. I'll shut up. But I want to, as I always say with you guys, in all seriousness, I know there's hundreds and hundreds of hockey podcasts to listen to. The fact that you chose to listen to mine, I greatly appreciate it. I really do. And I appreciate the interactions on social media, whether it be on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm getting the hang of the Instagram, folks. Bear with me. It's a little clunky. I don't know if I'm a big fan of the gram, as the kids say, but I'm on there. But yeah, please follow me on social media. If you want to drop me a line, my DMs are always open, as the kids say. If you're not on social media, congratulations, you're smarter than the rest of us. But you want to get a hold of me, email me, hockeyfights@hotmail. I'm old school. hockeyfights@hotmail.com. Send me an email. Tell me a story. Ask a question. Want to come on the show? Want to share a story? Share some pictures? Whatever. If you're a fellow fight fan, I always enjoy connecting and listening to the stories. And yeah, because I always say we try to build the community atmosphere here, and there isn't many of us left, us hockey fight fans. There are a lot of people that claim to be fight fans, but when it comes right down to it, they actually hate it. So us diehards, there's not many of us, but we're vocal, I guess we'll put it that way. But I really, and that was one of the things, having Rob on, is like the whole, even the fight, because, you know, again, as people, long-term listeners know, you know, obviously I started on the fried chicken website, then hockeyfights.com, and then Drop Your Gloves. And, you know, and there was always that message board and that sense of hockey fight fans, the community, and trading tapes and then DVDs, etc. And I've met a lot of great people through that hobby, and through this podcast, I've met a lot of people. And it's really given me that's the best part about this podcast, is the opportunity it's given me to reach out and talk to so many people around the world. And, you know, have a lot of you guys on, or if not coming on, but at least conversing and, you know, privately and stuff. And it's been great. And I really enjoy it. And that's been the whole point of this. That's been the whole point of this show. So, and I've always said, I mean, I've had great player interviews and I've enjoyed doing that. And I enjoy talking to the players. But honestly, the biggest kick for me is talking to fellow fight fans. And because it's a lot more relatable. And yeah, I don't want to say it's more enjoyable than the other, but I mean, I enjoy it. And that's why, you know, again, it's a question I've had a lot. Are you doing player interviews anymore? You're just interviewing fans? And yeah, probably more fans than players, obviously, at this point. Again, I've talked to a bunch of players, and I don't know. It's just, yeah, bro, yeah, let me know. And yeah, I'll get back to you. And you never hear from them again. And it's just, yeah, I'm not, like I've said 1,000 times, I'm not chasing guys anymore. And, you know, and clearly it's not that important to them, because if it was, they'd get back to me. So, that's fine. But at the same time, I'm not burning a candle waiting for them. So I got shit to record and things to do. And, you know, if they're wanting to get on and proactive, and, you know, they're setting up times and they're taking it serious, then absolutely. But if you just get the, yeah, I'll let you know, okay, well, whatever, you know, and they never get back to you, it's like, well, forget it then, you know. And that's fine. Like I said, that's cool. But if you're a player out there listening and someone gets a hold of you to do a podcast and you don't want to do it, just say no. Really, just say no, and that everyone can move on. It's good. If I ask you and you don't want to do it, just say no. It's fine. I'm a big boy. I can handle rejection. It's okay. The stringing along bullshit's just annoying, you know, and there's no need for it. We're all grown adults. No, just say it, you know, spit it out, you know. Anyway, enough. Let's get on with things here. All right. Here's the ad, my sponsors, and then we will get into my conversation with Rob, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And microphone seems to be working, and hopefully we'll be back Wednesday to talk to you guys again. Thanks, everybody.
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. If you're into over-under, Sunday, Columbus is in Boston. Over-under is 6. If you're into player props, look into the Blackhawks and the Minnesota Wild. Can Connor Bedard get a point? You can bet on it. Download the app now and use the promo code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-78 1-800-799-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023, all rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
All right, here on the Fourth Line Voice, I have a special guest. I have Rob on the line. Rob, how's it going tonight?
Oh, I can't complain.
There you go. If you did, no one would listen. So
there you go.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you're good. I've got Rob. Rob's bedridden, folks. He's on the DL here. I got him pinned down to do the show. Other than that, you're all over the place. But so I figured while you're on the injured reserve list, I'm gonna give you a call and we're gonna do some 10 rapid fire. Well, I don't know about I always call it rapid fire. I don't think rapid's the wrong word. We'll just kind of do 10 questions. And Rob agreed. So here we are.
Yep. Here we are, and I'm happy to be here.
There we go. Well, thank you. And most folks, for those listening out there, if you're a member of the Hockey Fights and Brawls group on Facebook, Rob, it is that Rob. Oh, you know, if you're a member of the group, you know who I'm talking about. He's always in there. I think he's a Philly guy. He's one of the big Philly Flyer fans, aren't you? At least that's what I read.
That's what I'm accused of a lot, but yeah. I am a born and bred Ranger fan.
Oh, another. Why? That's the other thing I was going to say, because of course, Rob and I, like, we're talking like old ladies in a knitting circle here for like the last hour and a half before I even hit record. What is it with you? I get all these Ranger guys. You're like the fifth or sixth Ranger fan that I've had on here to do these 10 rapid fires. I don't know. You guys are like fungus on a shower curtain. Try to scrub and get rid of you, and you keep coming back.
Come on, the best fans in the NHL. What do you want?
New York is one of those places I've never been. I'd love to go to New York. I've always talked about going to New York. Still mad I never saw the original Yankee Stadium. That still pisses me off. But I'm bitter about that till the day I die. But I really would like, MSG, right? World's most famous arena. How much time have you spent at MSG?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. We my son just went to a game last week with my folks, but I'll tell you what, if you come to MSG, you could pay like the highest ticket prices in the NHL and $16 for a beer, but it's a great venue. I got to give them that. I'll give them that. It's expensive, but it is a very, very good venue. And I would tell you, I've spent probably months worth of my life there, months.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you how many things I've seen at MSG.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing, right? It's like the world famous arena, but I mean, the problem is, of course, there's NHL 2023 hockey there, and it's like, so I wouldn't go. It's like, I always tell people every year when we go to Vegas, they're like, oh, you're going to go to a Knights game? And I'm like, dude, the Knights could be playing in my backyard, and I would close the blinds. I'm like, no, I am not going to an NHL hockey game. I couldn't imagine anything more boring than going to an NHL hockey game these days. Now, if this was like 1991 and I could go see Joey Koser kick the shit out of somebody at MSG, I would absolutely be going to those games. Or Darren Langdon, or, et cetera, et cetera. But not now. Not in 2023. I can't do it. Can't do it, Rob.
No, you know what? I can't say I blame you. Hockey is hard to watch. We still go to the games from time to time, but even my diehard 70-year-old stepfather doesn't go nearly as much as he used to. The game's changed in a way where at times it's hard to watch.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, we could go on and on about that and how the game is awful but that's a whole other show.
But
I think we'll get into happier times here, folks. We're going to get into better things here. We're going to go back in time, maybe. Well, Rob's fairly young, so I don't know. These young kids, these 30-somethings, who knows what his answers are going to be. But we'll see. But are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Well, I'll throw you a couple softballs early here. Who is your favorite? Number one, who's your favorite enforcer of all time?
Sandy McCarthy.
Really? Well, there you go.
Yes, Andy McCarthy. You know, he was the first fight I saw. He's the guy that, you know, that's what got me in the hobby. I know I was telling you earlier, you know, we were at MSG, you know, one of my first hockey games, but I'm there. My stepfather was a diehard Ranger fan, and he taps me on the shoulder. He said, "You see the guy over there, number 10? He's like, "Yeah." He said, "When the puck drops, they're going to fight." And it was his fight with Darcy Hordachuk. Yep. And I was hooked right at that moment. That was it. I was like 10 years old, and that was it. That's what started me on the hobby. So thank you to Sandy McCarthy, and I guess thank you to Darcy Hordachuk, but that's what led me here now.
There you go. Yeah, I always think Sandy's one of those guys. I think he's actually overlooked by a lot of fight fans. You know, because I think maybe younger fans, they kind of see him at the end a little bit. Like, they see him with New York or with Boston, and it was kind of But, I mean, Calgary Flame Sandy McCarthy was a killer.
Oh, yeah. And even his time with the Rangers, you know, he had some good...
Yeah.
You know, he had the fight with Jody Shelley, Darcy Hordachuk. He had some good ones with Eric Bolton. You know, he wasn't washed up when he got to the Rangers. People think of him more, or what I find anyway, people like, oh, he was done when he got to the Rangers. They think of him after that, like, savage beating he took from Bashir, then seemed like he lost his interest in fighting altogether. And then went to Boston, and then, you know, his career was over. So,
but was that fight with Bashir when he broke his helmet, that pillow yes. puncher Bashir? Because I heard, I've read Brashear doesn't hit really hard. Is that the fight? That one?
Yeah, that's the one you're talking about.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That one.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That's still a hard one for me to watch, you know. So, still a tough one for me to watch.
It's always one of those. Losing to Brashear was no shame. A lot of people did it. Despite what a lot of people might say, a lot of people did. So, but yeah, Sandy McCarthy. Yeah, no, man, he was a bad dude. For sure he's a bad dude. Yeah, because I can remember when he came up in Calgary, and
He had the look too. You know what I mean? He looked like a guy you didn't want to mess with. He had the look. He had the handlebar mustache and everything that he had for a while.
Yep.
You know, he played the role well. You know, he played the role well, but you know, I got a soft spot for Sandy. He was the first one, and you know, he was on my Rangers, and yeah, that was it.
There you go, man.
The rest is history.
I'm down. Absolutely. There we go. Sandy McCarthy. Question number two. Well, like I said, we got to go flip the coin, right? Okay. You got the favorite. Mm-hmm. Who's the most hated? And I always say this with people. I said, when I say hated, I mean, we're not talking like we're wishing death on anybody or anything. It's just like one of those things. As a fan, it's just the wording I'm using. But, you know, hated. But who's your most hated enforcer?
Oh God, Dale Pirrington, and he's the only Ranger player I would when he fought, I wanted him to lose. I just can't stand Dale Pirrington.
See, I can tell you that's a sentiment shared by many. But yeah. But the funny thing for me, I like Pirrington, man. I was always a Pirrington fan. He was he was an asshole. I loved him.
Oh no, he was a major asshole.
Oh yeah,
I think of him. You know, obviously. You know, the Ranger Islanders, you know, rivalry there, and watching him cheap shot and run from Cairns every 2 seconds, it was just painful to watch. The eye gouging on Colton Orr, you know, stuff like that. I'm all about enforcers taking some liberties and, you know, maybe even an occasional cheap shot, but Dale Pirrington was just I don't know. I couldn't stand the guy.
Well, that was the crazy thing, because, of course, I can remember Pirrington from the Western League, right, in junior.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't like that in junior. I mean, it was like he'd fight everybody, and yeah, shit, he was the captain in Lethbridge. Like, I mean, he'd get goofy now and again. I mean, you know, everybody back then especially, you know, as they would say, the cheese would fall off the cracker now and again. But overall, like he was a tough dude, man, actually a pretty solid player in junior. And then when he got up in Hartford and stuff, and it was like, you know, he put up 400 minutes and he's fighting everybody and running around. I always say with Pirrington, if he had played in like the 70s and early 80s, the dude would have had like a 10-year career because he would have fit right in back then. Problem was, is when he got, by the time he got to the NHL, it was still everybody was fighting and all that stuff, but it was starting to change a little bit. And it was like his antics were just like too much, you know.
Yeah, some of the gentleman rules started to come in, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's what you'd call them, which, you know, you know, I enjoy some goonery myself, you know, but it, yeah. I don't know. Purinton.
Oh, no, I get it.
I just couldn't get behind him, you know. I thought he was, at least in the NHL, you know, he was disappointing for a guy his size. You know, I mean, he was on my team. Some of that stuff, like I was talking about with Cairns, was just, like, embarrassing, you know, to watch. So,
yeah, he had, I don't know what his, yeah, he went through some, I don't know. Because it was like, he's a tough enough dude, he didn't need to do that stuff, so it was kind of weird. And then he wouldn't sometimes, he would go toe-to-toe and whatever, and then other times, yeah, like you said, he would, I don't know, he'd just do some weird shit, like hide, or just almost become like, start playing the pest role. And it's like, ah, dude, you're a little too big to be playing Sean Avery.
Yeah, leave that to Barnaby.
Leave that
to Matthew Barnaby, you know what I mean? Like, not to, he's 230 pounds, you know, you figure...
Yeah.
I mean, he had some good ones, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You know, he had that great fight with Cummins, you know, as a Ranger, you know. There are others I'm just not thinking of right now, but...
Yeah. Oh, and he certainly...
Yeah, he was a little hard to root for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, you're not the first person to say that. You won't be the last, that's for sure. All right. Well, there we go. One, two. Number three. Well, and I know, well, anybody that follows Rob on the Facebook group, you know, you're a collector, you know, we've talked about the fight clips and the DVDs and everything. Rob's an old fight guy from way back, collector and stuff. So watching all these fight tapes that we did, or DVDs back in the day, and fight clips, so I know you're well-versed in this. Who is your guilty pleasure?
Oh, that's a rough one. That's a rough one.
Nah. Well, that's good. I threw one at you here. I told you exactly what I was going to ask you, and I said I'm going to hit you with a couple here. So,
guilty pleasure. Oh, that's rough. Oh man, you got me on that one. You got me there.
Well, you could say Barnaby if you want. Like,
yeah, you know what? We were talking about that earlier. I loved Barnaby.
So do I.
I loved him on the Rangers, his antics, everything, which is kind of funny because some of his antics were similar to Dale Purinton. I guess it was the size thing that got
me.
I think he was just a great, Barnaby was a great pest, you know, and he had balls of steel.
Yeah.
And, you know, I enjoyed Matthew Barnaby, so I guess I'll give you that one. You answered it for me.
There you go. Have you read Barnaby's book yet?
I have not.
Neither have I. It's, I'm hoping Santa brings it for me because I have heard very good things about it. So, I've heard Barnaby's book is very good. So, and I don't doubt it because he's certainly a guy that's not going to hold back and tell it like it is. So, I mean, they can't, and the book's called Unfiltered, which, you know, what else would it be called? So, well, speaking of Barnaby and you know, you're a Ranger guy and blah, blah, blah. We're going to go off before we go back to question number four here. We're going to go off the path. I just have to ask you, were you an Avery fan?
Yes. You know, when he was on the Rangers, I got a kick out of some of his antics too. I kind of root for the villain a little bit. I was the kid that rooted for the bad guy.
Me too.
You know,
Roddy Piper over Hulk Hogan every time.
Yep. You know, that's the reason why I became a Brashear fan, because everybody else hates him. So, So even Kasparaitis, a lot of people hate Darius Kasparaitis, but he was on my Rangers, and you know what? I enjoyed some of his antics at that time. You know, he was the villain. You know, he played that role sometimes. He takes some liberties, and, you know, I enjoyed that.
Yeah. No, I'm right with you. I agree. Oh, I loved Avery, actually. I think he comes across as a complete fucking obnoxious asshole off the ice. I mean, that's why he's not in the NHL anymore. His teammates didn't even like him. So I think he's personally a goof, but on the ice, oh, tremendous. He made it fun. And when he was doing that shit with Brodeur, I laughed my ass off when I saw that. And everybody was having a conniption over it. I'm like, I thought it was great, you know?
Who was it that he said, there's a habit in the NHL of people falling in love with my sloppy seconds? Why can't I think right now?
Yep. With Alicia Cuthbert. Like, yeah.
You say that in an interview. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. You got to, and you had to expect a response, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I got to give them that much.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I'd say I'm an Avery fan. I like throwing Avery.
Yep. Yeah. Me too. No, as a player, He's a good player too. That's too bad. Like I said, his mouth got him out of the league because it wasn't. He wasn't. It wasn't that he didn't have skill. He was good. He was a solid player, but he just. I think he was too busy towards the end. I think he was too busy trying to be Sean Avery. He's trying to play a character, and I think he forgot to play hockey. I don't know what his deal was, but yeah. But he was. He always made the game exciting. That's for sure. There was always something going on when he was around. So. What was that? That was question three, guilty player. All right. Well, here's another one. If you could have season tickets in any, for any team in any year, what would it be? Who would it be?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Just to get to watch it happen, it would have to be the Red Wings during Probert's prime. You know, him and Kosher, the Bruins brothers, That would have to be it.
Yeah, kind of that 87, 88-ish kind of thing?
Yeah, that let's say 87 to like 91 Red Wings. Just to get to see those two play on the same team. And I mean, that was, you know, one of the best. I mean, that might be the best prime run anybody's ever had, that Probert run. So I think that might be it. That might be the one I'd want to be front and center for every day.
I think that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I can't think of a better one.
There we go. All right. So that's four. Question five. It never happened, but what's your dream matchup?
Oh, geez. That never happened.
Yep.
You know, I want to say Probert and Ben Wilson, although they did have that, like, hugging match fight, but I'm like a prime on prime, you know. Yeah. Probert and Ben Wilson, hell, Dave Brown and Ben Wilson, you know, in their prime. Like, I, you know, my top three, you know, when I did the top 50 list was Probert, Brown, and Wilson. Now,
yep.
I wouldn't argue with you if you put any one of them number one. I wouldn't argue with you. But I think to see them in their prime go at it, you know, the guys who I think are, you know, the three best, you know, ever. I'm going to say prime Ben Wilson and prime Bob Probert. You know, I'd pay good money to watch that.
That's a good one. That's a good one. There you go. Good answer. Well, for those listening, and like I said, if you're on the Facebook group and everything else, you know Robbie's all over the place, and he's always putting up polls and fight clips and everything else. He's definitely keeps that site running. I know, William, you do a bang-up job, but Rob definitely creates controversy and creates comments as being on that Facebook group. You and I were kind of I was telling you, like, if it wasn't those Facebook groups have given me content for days. When you first got on, I guess, well, you go back to Fried Chicken and the old hockeyfights.com boards, yeah. And then onto Facebook. So you've been around the old message board days and everything else. So this is sort of a generalized question that you can include hockeyfights.com and Fried Chicken in the answer. But, okay. I'm looking how I wrote this, and I've worded it goofy, but, cause I've actually never asked anybody this question before. This is a new question. What surprised you the most when you joined those groups amongst fight fans? Like, what was your biggest surprise?
You know, I think it's the inability to just see things as they are, you know, like the Homer glasses get me, like, you, yeah. and it's, you know, it's on the group now, or you're talking about grown people, right? So you could put up something very obvious and they will argue it or make excuses for it as if it, you know, this is a life altering stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's the lack of objectivity, yeah. I think, blows my mind more than anything. Like I said, I'm a Ranger fan, and I would never sit there and argue that a Ranger won a fight they clearly didn't win. Sandy McCarthy is my favorite of all time. I don't have him number one. I do not argue that he won fights he lost or didn't lose fights that he lost. Like, you know, just see things as they are. Yeah. So that would be it. I'd say, like, the lack of objectivity, would be it, you know? Some of the fanboy stuff is shocking, you know, with these, like, some of these outrageous claims people make that is just blatantly wrong.
Yeah, so
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, that's a good answer.
More than anything else.
Yeah, yep. There we go. So one, two, I'm losing my track here already. One, two, three, four. That was six. Really? We're on question seven already? Holy, we're flying here. Which fighter, maybe he didn't get a shot in the NHL at all. Maybe he did briefly, but who do you wish got a better opportunity, bigger opportunity?
Oh, there's a few, but Steve McIntyre. Steve McIntyre would be, you know, we were talking about him earlier, you know, off air, but to me, Steve McIntyre was like a bigger, stronger version of Jim McKenzie. You know, guy, he hit harder than McKenzie, but he was a great two-handed fighter, big, strong, had all the tools. And, you know, he just got a taste of the NHL, you know, more than others, you know. But if we're talking about other minor league guys, you know, Brandon Sugden, from my time, I think he was a phenomenal fighter I would have liked to have seen.
Yep.
Jeremy Yablonsky.
Yep.
And then we'll go back a little bit. Link Gates, you know, who wouldn't have loved to have seen Link Gates have 200 NHL fights?
Yeah.
You know, and see what you know, what the missing link could have done, you know, with a, you know, with more time in the NHL,
yep.
You know, because he was a force to be reckoned with too, you know?
Well, and that's, that's the funny thing with Gates, and I've often said this, and same thing actually with McIntyre. I think people, because it seemed weird, but I think people think those guys played in the NHL a lot longer than they actually did. It's like,
yeah, no, McIntyre doesn't even have 30 NHL fights.
No,
you know, 20 something. Link Gates is another one with 20 some odd, you know, NHL fights, and
Gates played like 60 games in his career. But I think people think he had like a 6 or 7 year career.
That comes up a lot when I do like the top 50 people. Like, what about Link Gates? I'm like, he doesn't really qualify as a top 50 all time NHL fighter. He just doesn't have the body of work. Yeah. I don't doubt that he could have been.
Oh, for sure.
From what I've seen, you know, but he just doesn't have the body of work. And they're like, oh, we had that fight with Probert. I'm like, yeah, I understand that. But that one singular epic, I mean, what an epic fight that was. But
yeah, Troy Crowder had that fight with Probert too, you know, like.
Yeah, and Crowder too is another one, you know. You think, I mean, he had a long run in the NHL. It's just his, the back injuries.
Yeah.
But he could have been a force too. I mean, Crowder hit like a freight train. You know, at his best, Crowder's as good as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but does that make him a top 50 guy? You know, same thing with, for me anyway, Link Gates. I don't doubt that he could beat a lot of people on my top 50, but he doesn't have the resume for it.
Yeah.
At least that's how I look at it. You know, when I do those lists, that the longevity thing is a big, big factor for me. So.
Me too. Yeah. Well, that's like a lot of times, like you do, like, well, we were talking before we got going, and that's another, for those lists, well, anybody that listens to my show on the regular kind of knows, I do a ton of lists. Well, I always say there's a reason I do a ton of lists, is because people love fucking lists. So it's like, yes, I do lists a lot. And whenever I do a list, like somebody, you know, everybody, oh, who's your top 10? Who's your top 10? I think I finally did a top 10. And it was sort of like, I kind of got a few responses, and it was like, well, where's Bogart? And I'm like, he didn't play long enough. And they're like, yeah, but look at his fight card. And it's like, that was always my thing with Bogart. It's like, yeah, he could have. I mean, unfortunately, with the circumstances that happened. But it's like, now, do I think Bogart could beat Probert and those? Yeah. Like, he certainly could. You know, if they had a fight, I mean, I'm not, oh, Ben Wilson would have killed Bogart. No, he
wouldn't.
No,
probably not.
No. Now, could Wilson have beat him? Sure. Could Bogart have beat him? Yes. You know, for sure. So I'm like, Bogart's in that talk with all those people. But my whole thing was just like with the longevity thing. And that's always been one of my kind of bigger criteria when I do a list is longevity. So, you know, and other people do it different, whatever. I have longevity. So it's like, I can't have Bogart in there because he really wasn't around long enough, unfortunately. But, although I guess he still had, what did he have? 60, 70 some fight? Maybe as I'm saying it now, I'm arguing with myself. Well, maybe he did fight enough to get in there. Nah, because I don't think he had 100 NHL fights, though. I don't think.
No, he did not.
No. So, yeah, all right. So, yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing. Although, how many did Ben Wilson have? That's the other one. He had to have over 100, though, I would think. Oh, maybe not. Yeah.
Ben, well, I think he was right at it. I think he had like 98.
Really?
Yeah. So, actually, I could. You know what I'll do? I will pull it up right now. See, I told you, I always have all this stuff handy.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, Rob's got these the old DYG fight card. That's the one thing with the Wayback Machine that's really cool. Well, they have a bunch of the NHL stuff. For some reason, I don't know why, you can almost get any LNAH guy on the Wayback Machine. The LNAH, you can get like totals and guys. Western League and OHL, forget it. But for some reason, the NHL and LNAH, you can get tons of guys. I don't know with the Wayback Machine if they're big LNAH fans or what, but I know it drives me nuts, though, because there's not a lot of minor league guys that you can get. Yeah. But
98 NHL fights for Ben Wilson, according to Drop Your Gloves.
Well, so there you go. So now I'm – oh, shit. Now maybe I have to – I might have to alter my top 10 a little bit now. Because I always said Bugard didn't fight enough. He wasn't around long enough. Well, maybe he was. Huh.
Yeah, I mean, Bugard, if I'm remembering correctly, it's around 70.
Yeah, I think so.
70 NHL fights. I think McGrattan had like 100, 110. Like he wasn't.
Yeah.
He didn't have a tremendous quantity either. But they're a product of
it's their environment, right? Like, if they had played in the 90s, they would have been the guys with 25, 30 fight seasons. You know, it wasn't them not, you know, yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's the other thing. I mean, it's always hard with eras too, right? Because it's like, obviously things changed and everything else. So, yeah, but yeah, that's interesting. I've now talked myself out of it right on the air. Well, there you go. Okay. Well, this is another question. This is a new question I'm trying out. You're going to be the guinea pig with this question. You know, when you play the Sega Genesis, or not Sega Genesis, listen to me how I'm dating myself. Pardon me, the PlayStation or the Xbox or whatever the kids are playing these days. And you're going to it's like you build your own player or whatever. We're going to build our own enforcer here. We're going to build the prime enforcer. So if we're building our enforcer, whose punching power are you going to use?
Ooh. Oh, that's tough. You gotta, Bugard's up there, Kocher's up there, but I gotta pick one, right? So, yeah, I'm gonna go with Derek Bugard.
All right,
whose Bunchy chin power, Derek Bugard?
Whose chin would you have?
Oh wow! You know, not an NHL guy. Is that all right?
Be whoever you want. Be the guy down the street if you want.
Hey, Steve Borsi.
That's an interesting. Okay. Where did you throw? I didn't even know you were an LNH guy. Where are you throwing that out from? What made you think of Borsi?
You know, I've been watching a lot of his video lately.
Yeah.
And you watch him go, right? Watch his fights with Morasti. I don't know if I've ever seen somebody eat that many punches and not go down. I mean, this guy knocked out John Morasti 3 times in one season.
Yes.
In toe-to-toe slugfest, or you watch, even guys like Jablonski, I mean, they had iron chins. I mean, he got dropped, but off the top of my head, or at least right now, and this answer could change if you ask me at a week from now, but I'm going to say a guy like Steve Borsi, that guy took some serious punishment, and I never seen him dropped anyway.
Mayrad's the only guy that I could think of that dropped him. Yeah, but other than that, yeah. Well, there was a reason he was the UFC Fight of the Year, too. I mean, that's the other thing, right? I mean, he was in the UFC and got Fight of the Year. So, and he took it and didn't go down. So, there you go. You threw me with there. Stamina.
Oh, Marty McSorley.
Yep.
Or Bob Probert, but...
Yeah. I was going to kind of say you could go Probert, Marty, or Langdon. Those are the three.
Yeah. But Marty. You know, I'll give Marty his due there. I mean, if he wasn't the best, he's one of the best, you know, stamina-wise. You weren't going to outlast him.
No.
You know?
Temperament.
You know, I like the kind of that wild temperament too. Yeah, we were talking about LaRock earlier. He was too gentle, right? That didn't make him a great. You know, I said I think he's a great fighter, not a great enforcer, because he was too.
Yeah.
Too gentle, you know. You know, give me a guy like Semenko.
Yeah.
You know, a guy that'll come for you, you know, if he has to. You know, you didn't have the option to not drop the gloves with a guy like Dave Semenko.
Yeah.
You know, he was coming for you one way or the other, and if that meant taking a suspension, he would do it. So, you know, if I want an enforcer on my team, yeah, we'll go with the temperament of Dave Semenko.
Well, there we go. So we got Bugard's power with Bosse's chin, with McSorley's stamina and Semenko's temperament. Oh, I'll tell you, I don't think too many people will be beating that guy. There we go.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'll add one for you. What about hand speed like Craig Berube?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, give him something like that. A guy that that threw him fast. You know, imagine somebody throw that. Now, like, look at Bugard. Like he wound up right. That's what. You know, you saw him in his fight. Let's say like Chris Simon and the fight he had with Brashear and. The speed killed him, right? He was too slow to get those punches off.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if he was throwing those heavy punches like Berube would.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about, you know, this is a guy, I don't think anybody's beating him, you know, if you take all those tools and put him in one guy.
Yeah. No one's beating that guy. No, for sure. Well, there we go. That was pretty good. Build your own enforcer. Well, there we go. So, okay, that was question 8. All right. No, that was question 7. Question 8, best fight you've seen live?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to go back to the beginning there. McCarthy and Hordachuk.
Yeah.
You know, that was a great, great fight that I've seen live. And it was the first one I saw live, too. Actually, I saw a lot of duds, you know, live at MSG.
Yeah.
So... That one stands out to me, and I don't know if it's my first or, I mean, it was a great toe-to-toe slugfest, so that's the one I'm going to go with.
There you go. Oh, actually, that was question 9. There we go. The final question. We're at number 10. All right.
Yeah, that was quick.
That's a half an hour. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
The Hockey Hall of Fame has decided to open an enforcer wing. Who were your first three inductees?
You know, I guess I would go right off the top 50 list, right? You know, Bob Probert, Dave Brown, Ben Wilson. Although now, you know what, his overall, like even Wilson, he doesn't have the big fight card or anything like that. So, you know, maybe not. Yeah, I guess of your first three, I think Probert and Brown. I don't think you could go wrong with those two.
No.
See,
I know other people that I've asked this question to. Of course, the answer, you know, the first one's like Ferguson, John Ferguson, because he was sort of the original enforcer.
Yeah, you know what, Dave Schultz, Dave Schultz. You know,
kind of ushered in the goon era, so to speak, the bullies and all that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can't go wrong there. I mean, even and I'm not a big fan of his. But like Ty Domi, you know, how do you not talk about the guy who has the most NHL fights, you know, the guy who did it the most. And I'm not even a big, I'm not a big, big Domi fan. I don't dislike him, but I'm not a big Domi fan, but you know, I couldn't think of, there's only a handful of people you could think of that are more deserving than Ty Domi. Right.
Yeah. Or you go like Tiger Williams, the all time penalty minute leader, you know, so it's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods, that's a guy, people always, I see him, they put him on the list, they do this stuff, and that. I think he did, doing something often and doing it well are two different things, you know, and I didn't really find, at least from the video I've seen, which I've seen a lot of Tiger Williams, I didn't think he was a great fighter.
No.
You know,
he had balls of steel, which fight everybody, and was willing,
oh, God,
and put
yeah.
up a lot of fights. But he wasn't particularly great at it. He was
no,
just
so that,
he was just crazy. That's all. Like,
yeah, nuts.
Yeah,
which is
but
good.
Actually,
yeah,
and a,
I like
and
that
a far and a far better player than people give him credit for. He was awesome. He was a power forward. Like, he had multiple 20 and 30 goal seasons. Like, Tiger Williams could play. He was really good. And, you know, as well as doing all the fighting. He did a ton of fighting, got a ton of penalty minutes. But, yeah, like, even in Toronto, like, on those early Leaf teams, I mean, when he'd go into Philly, I mean, he'd fight three times a night. Or Boston, he'd go fight three times a night. You know, he'd go fight Jonathan Wilsick and O'Reilly in the third, right? Like, I mean, guy was crazy. Now, was he going 3-0? No. Nope. You know, but he would do it. So, but yeah, I certainly wouldn't have him anywhere near a top 10 list or anything.
No. But. No, that was a fun project too, doing the top 50 and stuff like that. That was fun. And, you know, even that opened my eyes to a lot of guys too, you know. As much as you think you know, you start to overlook people too, you know, you forget things.
Yeah, I mean, it's never, you know, so. Well, and there's no right or wrong answer, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's all opinion. Well, that was what I was going to ask you, because I even said that when you posted it. I was like, holy shit, the top 10's hard now. You're going with 50. Like, that's pretty ambitious. When you do stuff like that, because I know you take the shit, you know, you're not just throwing out names to throw out names. I mean, you're kind of serious about it. Like, kind of, what's your criteria? Like, when you did your 50, like, what was your, like, we had talked initially here a little while ago about longevity, etc. But, like, how do you arrive on a top 50? Like, what's your deal?
Well, like, the first half of it is much easier than the back half of it.
Yep.
Right? So, like, once you get past top 25, you know, so when you're looking at the top 25 guys, you know, maybe, you know, there's 50 candidates, right? You break that down, longevity, you know, and some of it's opinion-based, you know, like the quality of their prime run, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. Bob Probert's prime run, I think, is the best we've seen. You know, I've watched all the video. I have all the fight cards and all that, and his really stands out as far as memorable fights go. You know, a guy like Bob Probert in his prime run, he had so many memorable fights. And that's why I had him number one. But so a lot of it was their record against other guys on the top 50. So even if I just threw the 50 names together, how many times did they fight them? Quality of their fight card, that was a big one. You know, that's where certain guys, you know, fell down my list quite a bit. You know, when I saw, you know, well, really, how many top 50 guys did they fight? You know, how many times did they fight each other? A guy like Bob Probert, you know, when you talk about fight card quality, Probert, Brashear, Domi, and Grimson stood out head and shoulders better than everybody else.
Well, I hate to cut you off, because it's funny, and I've been said this, and I've had people yell at me over this, but a guy that gets mentioned in the top people's top tens a lot, at least top 15s for sure, but top 10 a lot, and who I felt his fight card is Koser. Koser's fight card when he was in Detroit sucked. And there's a lot of Jerome Dupont.
Probert was doing the heavy lifting.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's kind of like, I think when Koser got to New York, he got better. Well, I don't want to say better, but he became the number one. In Detroit, he was completely Robin to Probert's Batman. And I don't care what any. Now, I'm not saying Koser couldn't have fought the guys Probert did, because he certainly could have, but he didn't. There's a lot of Jerome Duponts on Koser's card when he was in Detroit, and like Jamie McCowan and stuff. So that's why I always had a hard time initially with the whole putting Koser in that upper echelon initially, because it's like, it's not, you know, guys fighting Jamie McCowan. It's like, come on, you know, like, and like Brad's, you know, I was kind of just, when he got to New York, it changed, because then he became the number one guy, and then he started like messing up number one guys, right? So it's like, okay. But one of my knocks on Koser, not that it's huge, I'm not saying that he was beating up first line Swedes or anything, but initially I think his fight card was a little weak, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, I have the, like, at least my top 50, so it's a little subjective, of course, but
everybody's is.
You know, he guys with 50 or more fights, right, against that top 50 list. You know, from the bottom, I had Dave Brown had 50. You know, you had Ken Baumgartner had 53. All the way up to the top, you know, you had Brashear at 101, Stu Grimson 94, Ty Domi 93. It's hard to compare you know, it's not apples to apples when you look at Kocher, who has less than 50 fights against the top 50, to a guy like, let's say, Ty Domi, who has 93, or Stu Grimson, who has 94.
Exactly. So you know, at the same time, it's like, oh, well, Kocher's record's better. Well, yeah, but it's like, again, we're, like you just said, it's the quality of opposition, right?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Kocher's in my top 10. I have him at number 6.
Mm-hmm.
But that you are absolutely correct. They are compared to just about everybody except for Ben Wilson. Ahead of him, his fight card is nowhere near as good as, you know, the guys I have ahead of him. So,
mm-hmm.
And even some of the guys behind him, you know. Kocher's fight card is not as good as Sandy McCarthy's. You know, it's not as good as guys below him. Grimson, Berube, McKenzie, McSorley, all had much better fight cards than Kocher.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where, that's where I fall in with the top 10, because I don't think, I'm trying to think if I had Kocher in my top 10. I don't think I did. And that was my reasoning. So I had Marty in there. I think I had Marty at 6, and everybody's like, you know, Marty ahead of Joey, and I'm like, I'm not saying, like, when they, well, they did fight a few times, but it was like, I don't think anybody could really claim victory over the other guy very much, but it's like, I just said, I think McSorley's just had a better card and just fought more top guys than Kocher did, so that's what gave me the nod, but it's like, yeah, but then at the same time, you got Kocher, like, knocking guys out that Marty didn't, you know, Marty wasn't a huge power guy, so it's like,
no.
Okay, well, now we're doing style of fights, it's like, well, okay. But, I mean, you know, and like the one guy, well, his power, it's like, all right, well, then where do you put Rob Ray then? Well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, Ray had more knockouts than Kocher did. No, he didn't.
Yeah, right.
Like, well, yeah, he did. But it was like, now, I don't know. It's like.
Rob Ray is tough for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like a, you know, I'm like a numbers guy, right? So. I like to see, like, win-loss records and things like that. And Rob Ray is not shining there at all. But he has those memorable fights and those absolute wars and of course, the, you know, the knockdown or TKO fights. And I find that Rob Ray is a guy that either people vastly overrate or vastly underrate.
Yep.
You know, I found that it's very hard to get somebody that's objective. I've had people tell me, oh, if Rob Ray's not in the top 10, the list is garbage. I'm like, Rob Ray does not belong in the top 10.
No.
And then I've had people tell me Rob Ray doesn't belong in the top 100. I'm like, that's also ridiculous. That's equally as ridiculous as him being in the top 10. Now, I have him. He fell for me right below Chris Nyland, right ahead of Darren Langdon, Rob Ray at number 41 when I did that list. And I think, at least, you know, for me and my criteria and the research that I did and the video I watched, you know, I think that's fair.
That's what I would have him. I'd have him in the 40s if I was doing a top 50. Yep. And I mean, and this idea that Ray was only good when his jersey came off is ridiculous. I'm like, he got better when the jersey stayed on. But I said he was also getting older and entered his prime at that time. And Rob Ray made a massive improvement from his first bunch of years. Oh, his first couple years with Buffalo, he was a punching bag. He was certainly willing. He would take on anybody. He was nuts that way. But he was a catcher.
But, he had those great fights with, you know, he had some great fights with Dave Brown at that time.
Yeah, well, he,
you know,
on my friend Alec on the Five for Fighting podcast, he had Rob Ray on his show. And Rob Ray said that fight made his career. It was the Dave Brown fight. That's what turned his career around. Because that's what gave him confidence. As soon as he caught Dave Brown, he said who he thought was the best. It was like, okay, I can do this. I can be that guy now, right? Like, I can be in this conversation. And he was right. He went full bore. Ray was awesome at the end of his career. Like, when his jersey stayed on and he went through, like, he had that war, those wars with Domi. He had those.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Like he fought everybody. Karens, dropping Karens, and like Rob Ray was awesome. And it was like this idea that he was only good when his jersey came off is ridiculous.
Well, that the whole jersey coming off thing that comes up on the forum. I can here I am the forums the group.
But that's true because that's this it's this new age thing with it's we're gonna shit on Probert and Ray because they came out of their jerseys. And that somehow just discredits everything they ever did. It's like, okay, you know.
No, that that was not against, how I look at it is that wasn't against the rules at the time, exactly. Right? So anybody could have done the same thing. And frankly, yeah. if you were going into a fight with Bob Probert at that time or Rob Ray at that time, and you chose to stay in your jersey, I think that's a foolish move on your part.
Yeah.
Because you know that's coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could have done the same and you didn't. Yep. And there you go. So, yeah, well, you know, talk about it all you want, but yeah, maybe they were just being smarter.
Yeah, well, and that was the other thing that people also forget, too. There was lots of jersey modifications going on. It didn't just mean that your jersey came on. I mean, you had Dave Brown with a skin-tight left sleeve. You had other, hell yeah, John Cordoke with Velcro sleeves that would come off. You had other guys that would spray their jerseys with, like, Crisco and shit, so it was slippery. I mean, there was lots of stuff going on other than, oh, your jersey came off. But they don't talk about that stuff. It's just, you know, but they somehow, like, try to knock down. Like, I mean, Rob Ray, that was getting a little crazy because he was naked underneath. I mean, hey, he took advantage of the rule, whatever. I don't blame him. But it was getting a little crazy, and I'm actually, they probably did need to put the rule in for someone's health, you know. But the whole Probert thing, and, like, to try to demean Probert's career at all because of that is just foolish. Like, because like you said, oh, well, Probert had the advantage. Well, no, you're saying that like the other guy couldn't have done that. Only Rob was allowed to do that. It's like, well, that's not how it went. So,
yeah.
You know.
I just responded to somebody on the the page the other day. They said, the master stripper couldn't fight a fair fight or couldn't fight a straight-up fight or something like that. Like, Bob Probert had to undress in order to fight, otherwise that was it. And I'm like, that's the most absurd thing I have ever read, and I've read a lot.
I've seen that a bunch of times. I saw the comment you're talking about, and I saw your response to it. It's ridiculous, and it's like, whatever.
So that's one of the things. So you see that a lot on the groups now. And it usually is Probert or Ray, like you were saying. And I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, because like you said, nothing was stopping anybody else from doing what they did.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not against the rules, so why are you bringing it up? Well, they cheated. See, you're using the wrong word.
Yeah.
Like, I've said this on the show a bunch of times, and I think it's become, some of these fans are so into this code thing and whatever, and this respectful fight thing. And it's like, they've put like these unwritten rules into fighting. Like, you need to, and it's like, so when they see Ray or Probert or anything back then, it blows their minds. And it's like, well, that wasn't respectful. It's like, I think they have no idea what an enforcer, well, because there aren't any anymore. They have no idea what enforcing was. And it was like Probert and Brown. Oh, well, Brown was a jumper. Semenko jumped people, blah, blah, blah. Well, they were doing what their job was. They were bullies, and it was to intimidate. It was like, it wasn't for 40 years from now to be critiqued on some message board by people. Like, no, it wasn't good luck, bro, back then. It was like, I have a job to do, and I'm going to intimidate and beat the shit out of you. It was about winning fights by any means.
And making a point.
Yes.
And it was about making a point.
Exactly. And inflicting your will on the other team, mm-hmm. any means necessary. And I'm going to punch you through the ice. And it's like, you know, I'm going to hit you when you're down because I want you to never think of doing this again. And that was the point of enforcing. And these guys, it's amazing. Well, to go back to the question of what surprised you on the fight board, that's what surprises me with these fans now. They have no idea what the actual role is supposed to be. Because it's so far gone now that they have no idea they've never seen it. And when they watch these old clips, it blows their minds. Well, what do you mean? They didn't square off. Okay. Oh, he hit him when he was down. Yeah, he did. Shit, don't watch any Dave Brown fights then, because you're gonna have nightmares. You know, like, yeah. Like, one guy told me, I don't like Dave Brown because he was mean. I was like, I'm like, wasn't that? I always thought that was the point.
Like, yeah, I don't want my team's enforcer to be the nicest guy on the ice.
No, it's sort of defeating the purpose.
That's not what I want.
But what have they seen? Right? We talked about this earlier. What have they seen? They've seen George LaRocque. and they've seen the mic'd up videos. Oh, good luck, buddy. And they see bro, yeah. They see bum taps and bro hugs now, and everybody being buddy buddy in the penalty box talking with each other after fights. It's like, and they think that's how it is. Well, that's how it is now. That's it is like that now.
They're not wrong.
It wasn't like that in the '80s and nineties and the '70s. I can tell you, O'Reilly wasn't sitting there with you know whoever Ben Wilson, and they were talking about working out with each other in the summer. Like that was not happening, you know. And it's like, it's just, I guess it's just a generational thing. They just don't understand. It's just completely different now.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, it's been different for a while now. But yeah. I even talk about, like the later era, right? We'll talk about like when McGrath and Orr and Bugard broke in. And I call that on the group, I call that the round robin fight card era. They were more like sideshows and less like enforcers, right? If you look at their fight cards, it was a round robin. It was like, Goddard's fighting McGrath, and he's fighting Orr, he's fighting Bugard. And it was the same guys over and over and over again. And it was less about enforcing, and it was more just, a sideshow, a little break from the actual game, right? So now these guys are fighting, and that was part of the entertainment value. It was less about enforcing and intimidating, you know, when you got to that point.
Yeah.
And if you look at the fight cards, that's exactly what it shows. They were just fighting the same people over and over and over again.
It was the nuclear weapon sideshow. Can our nuclear weapon beat your nuclear weapon?
There was a lot less bad blood amongst each other, you know, at that time. So even from that time, how many real rivalries were there where you really think they didn't like each other? You know, there weren't many.
No.
So McGrattan and Goddard, how many great fights did they have? I don't think they ever had bad blood for each other at all.
No.
You know?
No, and that's the thing, and that's like everybody's big thing is, I don't like staged fights. Yeah, and then in the same breath, they're like, but my favorite fight of all time is Probert and Domi. What's more staged than that fight? I mean, you know.
Yeah, well.
But... And I'm like, I get what you're saying, like with the whole new age, you know, Goddard versus Bugard, you knew they were going to, all right, I get it. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think anybody that bought a ticket was upset with the fight. So, I mean, I never had a problem with the air quotes stage fight. I don't really care, whatever fight. I just wanted to see him fight. I just wanted to see him go. But I could completely understand when somebody says they didn't like it. Like from a hockey purist standpoint, I get it. But at the same time, you sort of turn around and it's like, wow, you know, Probert and them had a lot of stage fight, air quotes, stage fights too. You're just not, you know, bringing that part up. But it's like, I don't know. Oh, well, it's like it gave us something to talk about, right? So, but yeah, but like you said, it got more and more our guy versus your guy, you know, and let's see what happens. Sideshow.
Yeah, and that was it. But, you know, it was entertaining. I did enjoy that, you know, at that time, too. I liked that, it was a far cry from, like, the bench clearing brawls, you know, you saw in the 70s and even the 80s and stuff. That was over at that point, you know.
Yeah.
So the fighting became a sideshow, and, you know, now it's, I think sooner or later they're going to ban it altogether, and even what you have now is not even worth watching most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. I think at some point, I think it'll just sort of just naturally, I don't know if it'll ever completely go away, but I think it'll just sort of fade off into, you know, pretty much you might get a fight now and again, you will, but I think for the most part, it'll be, you know, teams will have maybe 7 or 8 fights a year, you know, whatever, but,
This year? In Toronto this year, didn't they have to have a meeting about, you know, protecting your teammates?
Yeah.
An article I saw, you know?
Yeah, well, could you imagine having that players-only meeting? Like, holy. like back in the day, yeah. But it's just that. It's just the mindset of hockey is completely different, and the rules are different. And not in the NHL, they're not really, but, I mean, that's what everybody forgets. Bettman did this. Well, actually, Bettman's pro-fight. Bettman's never put in a fight rule, and that Bettman doesn't make the rules anyway. I don't know why people keep blaming him, but not that I'm a Bettman guy. I think he's a little weasel, but he's not the rule maker, so he's the wrong guy to point fingers at. But it's like Junior is where it all starts. They've killed fighting in Junior. So it's like these guys that are coming up through the, all of a sudden they're not going to just get to the NHL and, hey, you know what, I'm going to fight 30 times this year. Well, no, because they've never fought before. Or they have like a handful of fights in their careers. Like back in the day, guys would enter pro with 40 and 50 fights already in junior. So they were already like battle tested. Like Scott Parker had like, I'm just using him as an example. There's guys with way more, but like Scott Parker had 70 fights in the Western Hockey League. Like and then he had how many more in the American League in his 2 years in Hershey? Like 20 apiece probably. So there's 40. So he already got his 100 fights before he's entered the NHL. So, I mean, there's guys now, these kids playing now, like they're never going to get to 100 fights total in their career. You know, and these guys had 100. Yeah, these guys had 100 coming in, so they were like battle tested already. So it's like completely different mindset.
Yeah, Colton Orr had over 100 fights between the WHL and the AHL.
Oh yeah.
You know, before he ever made it to the NHL.
Yeah.
You know, these guys were seasoned. You know, by the time they got there, McGrattan's another one. You know, a ton of fights. You know, I saw Goddard. I went to a Hartford Wolfpack game. I saw Eric Goddard and Martin Grenier go at it. Goddard has a hell of a fight card from the AHL.
Yeah, Goddard is awesome. I love Eric Goddard. He's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, absolute wars down in the AHL. So, but, you know, so he came up. A lot of them guys like McGrattan and Bugard, they came to the NHL. They came up and they were like a finished product already.
Yep.
You know, like I think Bugard's best season was actually his first season.
Bugard's rookie year is probably, you could argue that that's the best rookie year of all time.
Yeah, I had put that up on the group at one point. You know, I can't think of one where somebody was more dominant than that. You know, it was he was like almost scary to watch, you know, then he was dropping people left and right.
Yep.
Yeah, big jerk.
Yeah, well, there we go, man. There's 10 questions with Rob, and we got some more. Like here, before we got going, folks, I told Rob, I said, yeah, we'll keep it to about 20 or 25 minutes. That'll be good. Well, we're at the 58-minute mark right now, so that's we did really well. I've had Rob's had my voice in his head for about the last 3 hours, so I think maybe
3 hours and 2 minutes.
Yeah, see, there we go. We'll maybe call it a day here. But I really want to thank you for taking the time for coming on the show. And I know we've talked about it for a while about you coming on, but your work and my work and trying to time difference and everything else. But I'm glad. I feel bad that you're laid up. So that's the only reason I could get you on. But nonetheless, may as well take advantage of it now. And it certainly, hopefully, will not be the last time, because I told you I want to get you on for the bracket preview show, because I know that's right, kind of right up your alley. But no, I want to thank
you. Let me know. I'm free and clear.
I got you for a little while longer anyway. Yeah. So folks, you'll be hearing Rob again on this show. But Rob, I want to thank you very much again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a good time.
Excellent.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?